Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 18th of May, recording at 9:59 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, it's been one of those days, and that's even before I get onto the markets. Well, there's been plenty of action here today, so first the highlights very quickly. Very big rallies in the European stock markets, and almost matched by the U.S. stock market. And elsewhere, bonds still firm. And in currencies, well, the dollar's rally has certainly faltered in here today. But remember, we had a breakout from that trading range, but it's a little bit overbought on a short-term basis. Precious metals, quite a rebound in silver here today. That was the best, but they were all reasonably steady. And some of the industrial metals picking up, well, pretty much all the industrial metals picking up as well. Okay, let's get back now to these stock markets, because this is the area perhaps of greatest interest right now. It's certainly where we had the greatest drama overall. Now, again, you know my view. I can review it very, very quickly, and that was that very predictable, nice rally that we had from March 2003 had basically ended by the end of February, early March of this year, and that we were in a very dangerous period, and we were going to see a corrective phase that could was most likely going to carry into 2006. In other words, the technical bull, the Wall Street-led technical bull, was over, and that created dangerous conditions, which led me to raise some cash, reduce my previous equity exposure that I'd been running for a couple of years, and to not to eliminate all of it, as you may recall if you've been listening regularly, and also to not only to hedge those positions, but to move to a net short overall. Now, the then subsequent debate has been that I've been airing, my debate with myself here really, and the information that I'm seeing was, would markets head steadily downwards? Well, as you know, they headed steadily downwards from those highs in March, pretty well through April and into May, or would we get rebounds and much more of a ranging environment? And one of the factors that would favor the ranging would be steady, let alone rising long-dated government bond prices, because that would indicate less fear on the inflation front. And oil was cited as another big factor here overall, and oil has continued to retreat, including today. So those factors all favor the ranging markets, but I would not mislead you. I've been mightily surprised by the strength of the rally here in the European markets and also Wall Street today. I expected some sort of follow through after yesterday's a good close near the highs on Wall Street, but this is much stronger, and it begs the question, you know, really, am I right on this overall hypothesis that this is a dangerous year and we're going to see further downward moves? And we can bet that there are plenty of bulls who are going to reemerge and talk about all sorts of factors, such as the lack of immediate inflation pressures, at least as indicated by some CPI and some PPI data, and forward earnings multiples and so on. Well, I don't know the answer to the question. I suspect overall that this is still quite a dangerous period in here, but the fact that the rallies have been so brisk today does cause me to be careful in here and say, well, I've got to watch this more closely. I can't take it for granted, and not that I ever do, that my script for a significant correction, quite possibly carrying into the autumn, in other words, into the September-October period, is actually underway. I'm not running away from that view. I just say that I've seen enough technical evidence to know that I do have to question it overall. A And clearly, having now had some upward dynamics coming off those April and May lows, we would have to see some quite clear, specific evidence to indicate that these rallies are over. Now, we do have a number of overbought conditions. There's an outside chance, or maybe not that outside, that this action in here today is climactic, with a little bit of acceleration on the NASDAQ index, perhaps. Now, I haven't posted those charts on the website today. The only charts I've posted are where I've had portfolio changes, and there were four of them. But you can see all those charts now on the subscribers chart library, and I do recommend that you have a good look and form your own views overall. And one thing that I should also mention, and you'd find that on the chart library, is that one European stock market, not a big one, but nevertheless, I said no developed country stock market had broken through to new highs. Well, one has, and that's the HEX index, the HEX index for Finland, very much a market very much dominated by Nokia's performance, and Nokia has very definitely led the way. So that is another one to chalk up for the bulls, as was pretty well all of today's action in here. It was also an interesting day in that it caused it's one of those things that veteran subscribers and attendees at the chart seminar will have heard me talk before about all change days. And that's when you get one galvanizing move in a particular sector, and it just causes a lot of knee-jerk responses, and people throw a lot of short-term trends into reverse, or ignite a series of other short-term trends. And there's been certainly some of that evidenced, not least in the precious metals markets here today, but the stock markets saw the big drama overall. So, well, how am I going to play it here? First, I've had a couple of positions stopped out. Some there's in a couple of in the money stops hit. My timely shorts were in March, and all the annoying thing is I've let the profits slip through my fingers, and the untimely shorts were the ones that I opened in that first week after getting out of hospital, mostly during that first week. What's this done to my overall position? I'm still net short, but considerably less so than I was before. I pulled one stop in here tonight. That might be after the closes. That might be quite rash, but on the SMI, which is that's the beg your pardon, not the SMI, the S&P MIB index, the Italian stock market index. The futures contract rallied within 5 points of one of my in-the-money stops, but then Wall Street closed considerably higher, and I thought, well, this is going to gap through the stop level tomorrow, and then may come off, and hopefully, at any rate. And so I thought, well, no, I'm not going to throw that out on the opening. I'll wait and see what happens. So at this stage, I'm undecided. I'm undecided whether I'm going to start increasing my short positions again relatively soon to increase that net position, just move back into some of the ones I've come out of at a higher level as one possibility, or I don't know whether I'm going to reduce those positions further. Here, I'm going to take a little while to think about that, and of course, watch the action very, very closely. And of course, I do still have a number of long positions which are benefiting in this environment. But as I say, I am net short equities overall, although not all that heavily. Now, in the government bond markets, again, I think this is of interest mainly at this stage as a lead indicator here for stock markets, in the sense that steady bonds, that's as I've already said, but it's a point worth repeating. When most bond yields are coming down, bond prices, government bond prices going up, clearly Investors are not overly worried about inflation or rising interest rates. Now, one of the perhaps ironies in here regarding today's rally, I mean, people have responded very favorably to this. There was one little news item, China's GDP growth. I think that was a little straw in the wind that that helped it along. The lower core inflation figures coming out of the US, another straw in the wind, but the market was already rallying. Now, when markets were falling, as we saw in March and in April, then people were lowering their expectations about GDP growth and talking about a possible recession. And that certainly helped the bond markets to rally. And then they said, well, no, wait, the ECB and the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee are going to cut interest rates, and the Fed's almost through with their interest rate hikes. That was the talk, I'm sure you recall it. Now, if we have ebullient stock markets once again, and we certainly did today, and if we get tests of highs, let alone moves on the upside, then just the opposite's going to take place. And people will say, well, wait a minute, we've been underestimating the growth. We're going to actually get stronger growth, not only in Europe and the United States, but throughout the world, led by the Far East. And therefore, then they're going to say, well, wait a minute, how's that going to actually affect inflationary pressures that might start to cause them to pick up again? How will central banks actually react? Well, then quite possibly the Monetary Policy Committee in the UK and the ECB will not be cutting rates. And the Fed, instead of forecasting that Greenspan was only going to raise rates to 3.25, 3.5, they'll start talking about 4% and more on short-term interest rates. Government bonds start coming off again. Stock markets get into trouble. So that wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. We would have to wait very long to see whether that actually takes hold. And those of you who've attended the chart seminar will know that there are some market environments. Well, the ideal, the easy money making, or I should say less difficult money making environments, are when we get trends, we get nice clear trends. 2003 really was a classic example of that, for at least from March onwards. And it ran well into 2004, had an interruption, and then picked up again in the from September onwards. We get nice, rhythmic, consistent trends. One can leverage up positions if one wants to ride those trends, and they're really very, very profitable. And among the few things that you can guarantee in markets, one of them is that sooner or later those rhythmic, consistent trends are going to be replaced by periods of massive indecision, where you get very choppy whipsaw moves, where the markets make fools of anybody who attempts to predict them, and get this very, very choppy action, and nobody knows quite what to do. You feel bullish one day, and then markets fall the next, and you feel bearish. And then they rally the next, and so on. And we certainly are in one of those choppy periods here right now. But some of those changes have only just started. To say, we can't say that the stock market rally is over after a day like this, but in some respects, some aspects of the move are beginning to look a little bit climactic. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't easily get a little bit of additional follow through. Other areas, other trends that where choppy action has occurred, we could well see the dollar backing off in here. We've got the euro moving back up to 126.80. Dollar's fallen back down below 107 against the yen. That's not a huge move, but it was enough to cause me to pull out my take the profit, not wanting to risk further profit erosion in my yen short against the dollar. And one of the reasons why I'd done that is because the silver market was so strong in here. I took a profit on one baby steps position rather cautiously here in the early afternoon, and practically gave it away. I could have done, I could have pulled another 15 cents out of the market. We've got July silver currently trading at 724 and a half. Now, Mind you, I'm not concerned about having taken that position out to earlier today because I wanted to reduce my overall leveraged exposure to these markets, and I've got a fair amount of additional silver, and I'll continue to operate on a baby steps basis. If silver, all I want with silver, what I mostly want with silver is volatility, and if silver continues to move up, I will happily feed out some additional positions, take baby steps profits on them, in other words. And but I'm going to be a little bit more cautious in terms of some of my buyback levels, at least while we're in this very choppy environment here. Ditto platinum, I've seen that move in and out of profit on a number of occasions. My July position, it's nowhere near as big as the silver, but the last thing it did was look at those highs once again. And I decided not to book them. I think that was early last week. And then, of course, they bungee jumped down, now firming up again. I will let my copper position expire tomorrow. And whatever takes place, that bounced again in here today. But I say I am going to reduce risk here overall because I don't. As I've said before, I'm taking a few more risks than I would actually like to. What else to mention? Crude oil price. This is beginning to get a little oversold. It's one of the, well, it's about the only industrial commodity that didn't rebound in here today. So maybe that goes a little lower, but I'm looking at crude at 47 spot NYME. And I said you'll recall my saying perhaps that I thought, that yes, this is going to go below $50. But I'd be surprised to see 40. That was the last important low. So somewhere between this 47 and the, well, a little bit further down into the mid-40s, 45 area, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we then see an upward dynamic in this oil price, and particularly if the stock markets continue to move and people are actually talking about stronger growth, in other words, revising some of their growth forecasts upwards once again. Okay, on to tomorrow, and no doubt some more drama. All the best.